discuss your time at the Rad Lab.
Right.
I
can lead you to some other things.
Oh, please go ahead.
One of the things is, I did a little thinking about this, and I have something to say, is that bringing a whole bunch of physicists and mathematicians and other kinds of scientists into an engineering project, what this was engineering, it wasn't science, had a wonderful effect upon engineering. An engineer is a guy who can make something, who can design something and build it and make it work.
Right.
And a big part of engineering is knowing what won't work, because usually there's a time limit and there's a price limit for getting something designed and built. That is, so you have to be able to get it done, get it work, and get it to work right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that in the radiation lab, I became a lot more cautious about using any of this lore about what won't work.
Mm-hmm.
An example of that is the intermediate frequency amplifier. This is I mentioned before that vacuum tubes couldn't do anything with the radar echoes as they came by, and the circuit, the RF circuit that involved the crystal, but also involved a lot of brass. I mean, there was a lot of a circuit that handled the signals of waveguides and so forth. That produced a signal that could be amplified by vacuum tubes. But it had to be amplified enormously from almost nothing at all, just barely detectable, to a very substantial signal.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a very substantial signal end of an amplifier, or just a little bit of signal leaked back to the beginning, it would swamp out the signal, and instead of getting the amplified signal, all you'd get is a screech.
Feedback.
Mm-hmm. And so the engineers had gone to work on this one particular one of them, I won't name, and had come up with radio receivers with tremendous shielding.
Mm-hmm.
Each stage was shielded. These things were enormously heavy and big. However, a fellow who became quite a good friend of mine, Henry Wallman, was a mathematician, and he didn't know what couldn't be done. And so he thought about all these things, and he decided that it could be, he could do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so he discovered that by placing the components very cleverly and very precisely, it was possible to build a very small, very lightweight IF amplifier. Instead of weighing 40 pounds, it weighed 6 ounces, something like that. It's tremendous. I don't know what the numbers were exactly, but they were just an enormous difference. And his technique of building these amplifiers took over. And the older techniques disappeared immediately as soon as he got it to run. There's a funny story about his getting it to run.
Mm-hmm.
I went up to his office one day, and he was sitting there with this tiny little thing, about 6 inches long, that he'd been working on. And at that time, they had just finished building 22, which was a huge wooden structure that had been put up in very short order because Radiation Lab needed more space. Actually, the land had cleared a land occupied by a temporary World War I structure. They built this whole thing. And Henry looked out the window, looked out over this new building that was being built, and he said, "Nat, I started this project before those folks began building this huge building, and they're done, and I'm not done yet." And I have this little tiny thing in his hand.